Dan, check this out.
I'm ready.
It is a mad spreadsheet. It's got gross wages, PAYGW, awards, overtime, super.
It's all manually calculating?
Oh, that sounds heaven.
How good is that? Nerdy out on spreadsheets.
Yeah. You know what you should do though, Tim?
What?
You should use Employment Hero.
Really?
Yeah. They handle all that hard stuff, time-consuming and boring employment stuff that you're currently doing in a spreadsheet.
That sounds great. Employment solved.
Employment Hero. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Dan.
I've got a couple of jokes for you today.
Oh, a couple?
Yeah, I've got a couple here.
Jeez.
Yep.
Not confident in the first one, were you?
Not confident in all of them, to be honest. You know how I used to be a computer programmer?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. I just couldn't hack it.
Terrible.
I quit my job at Nike after that just because I couldn't do it anymore.
Oh, jeez.
And now I've got a job in astronomy. Yep. And things are looking up.
I like the way that flowed. That was like a whole bit.
Yeah, it's a whole bit. I took three of the terrible jokes from this website I just read and combined them to make one joke. All right, let's dive in.
Hi, this is Tim. This is just a heads up that all the advice you're hearing in this podcast is general in nature. If you want something more specific, then feel free to contact us.
Drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk, drunk, to drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk, drunk, to drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk, 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 drunk,
drunk. Hello and welcome to the podcast. My name is Dan.
And I'm Tim.
And we are the two drunk accountants. It's been a while since we've done that, so I thought I'd bring it back. Felt good.
It did feel good.
With us today, we're continuing our series with the great people over there at Employment Hero, the Employment Solve series. Today, we're talking to David Holland, MD of Swag, otherwise known as Dutchie. and we're going to be talking about the Australian job market trends, what's happening, what's predicted, and then also, you know, ways that you can attract and retain staff. Because hey, there's a lot of people out there right now who are sitting there struggling to find people. We were in that basket recently, Tim.
Yep.
So yeah, it's definitely a topic that people are interested in. So David, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much for having me. I feel like it's a bit of a milestone in my career to be able to appear on the podcast.
Most people do think that. Yeah, most people. It's usually like it's a stepping stone to bigger things, we like to think.
I don't know. I mean,
it can only get bigger.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
if your title is MD of Swag.
Yeah.
It doesn't get much better than that, if you ask me.
That is pretty
good.
Everybody
loves swag. And I know that's a very specific Employment Hero thing, but...
yeah. But just generally, yeah, I agree.
It's an opportunity that came up to meet a need within where our business is going strategically. We can dive into that later if it becomes interesting. But Swag, as you're probably aware from having chatted to Ben previously, it's a huge opportunity for Employment Hero and our clients. So we can talk about that later.
I learned about Swag when we were speaking to Ben because I did a tight ass tip of a different rewards app. So I really put my foot in it. That was the worst week to use that tip.
Yeah.
But yeah, no,
I thought it was the perfect week to use it. Gave Ben every opportunity to come back. Yeah. Your suggestion is one that we know very well and has its place. I think the other element that didn't necessarily come out of that is Swag is not just our benefits app. It's actually our all-in-one super app. It covers the functionality you require within work. It has the functionality you require to find work, and it has the benefits and engagement tools within it. So, might maybe come up later when we talk about retention.
Yep.
I reckon it probably will.
Yep. Well, we here on the podcast, Dutchie, I'm going to use that from now on. we like to play T-ball. We like to tee him up so you guys can hit him off. So we'll get there a bit later. Tim, first of all.
What is the Tim and Dan
Tim, how's your week?
Very good. Very good. We are recording this the day before Anzac Day.
Yep.
Actually.
Correct. So it's a big day for you tomorrow, I understand.
Yeah, huge day. Yeah. Huge day. Obviously, Anzac Day is a big day for everyone in Australia and New Zealand because of the obvious reasons. But I'm also a massive Bombers fan in the AFL. So for me, my Anzac Day festivities or memorial type service things happen around the football.
Yep.
I just absolutely love it. So, Dutchie, are you into footy AFL at all?
Or? probably have more of an affiliation to Fulham Football Club in London, different kind of footy.
Yes, different footy.
But as someone who came from a family of non-AFL players, my son has taken up AFL and has continued that beyond school. So
awesome.
We've been, and he loves it. And there's a great community around AFL. Mm. So there you go. My local team, though, is Manly Marlins, which is the rugby union team. And they have the a massive local derby, a long-standing local derby with another Northern Beaches team called the Warringah Rats, and they're playing tomorrow. And I've got to say, if you're anywhere within that region, you should get down and check it out. It is the grudge match to end all grudge matches.
That's awesome.
It's football for me.
It's cool that they play on Anzac Day.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's more of a community sporting organization. Yeah. I guess it's probably high level still. But imagine playing for the Rats.
Well, it's actually the Rats of Tobruk is what they're named after. It was came back out of here. Yeah. Right. So it was, anyway.
That's nice. Cool. That makes sense now. Yeah. Mm. Awesome. So yeah, I'm looking forward to tomorrow, Dan. And the Bombers have had a pretty good season so far.
Nice.
We were only starting favorites in one of our matches out of six, and we've won four.
That's really good.
It is.
That's really good.
It is very good.
I can hear the, you're trying not to be too excited. I can see you've been burned too many times. Like there's too much pain in there to feel the excitement.
Right. If we win tomorrow, the lid's off.
Yeah.
Lid is off. And the Bombers are going to win the premiership.
Nice. Right? That's nice. It. Well, speaking of.
Did you just say that? Did you say it? Said it.
He said it. He's said cursed it. Yeah.
Don't worry. I mean, I do this every year, I think.
You do, yeah. So, Tim, we played golf yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Who won that?
I think it was a draw.
It was a draw, you think?
It was a draw.
It was a draw.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I remember that my team won. Best of three. This is the third. Harvey, who works with us, is going away to Europe for a few months. So we had to squeeze in the third round before he goes away. And unfortunately for you, me and Nick walked away with the W. Now, that's my jacket upsetting. Size is large. I have wide shoulders. Just for the championship jacket, when you get that made, that'd be great. Thanks.
It was a tough day for golf because we've had a lot of rain here in, on the Central Coast, New South Wales in general, I think, East Coast, had a lot of rain. And where we played is basically a swamp, even when it's dry.
Yep.
So we were putting and you almost had to hit it like you were hitting an iron, basically, to get the ball to even get close to the hole. It was ridiculous.
But we all had the same conditions.
I'm blaming the conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, well done. All right. Yeah, I mean, we used a couple of your shots, right? Your
team. Yeah. Doesn't matter. It was a communal effort. I was part of the winning team. That's all that matters.
Well, my swing room is going to be finalized tomorrow and I will be a pro in no time. So just look out.
Okay. I'm looking forward to hear all about how angry you are at your swing or whatever.
I might get more into my head.
Yeah. David, what have you been up to?
Well, as you can imagine with all the activities here at Employment Hero, it's been a busy work week.
Yep.
But I too am looking forward to tomorrow. We'll kick off the day with an ocean swim at 7 a.m. Down at Manly.
Nice.
So we swim from where there's a great community swim down there. So that's what I'll be doing tomorrow.
Cool.
Sounds great.
How far are you going to swim?
It's listed as 1.5. I think that's generous. I think it's about 600 and something meters each way, and I'll call it 1.3.
Yeah. I mean, and after you've done the first kind of 200 meters, you can call it 1.2 and turn around at that point anyway. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. But it's a good group. There'll be 400 or 500 people there tomorrow.
Yeah, wow.
Awesome.
Completely autonomous. There's no sign up. There's no people just show up and swim. It's fantastic.
Wow.
That sounds really great.
That's awesome. Very nice. Well, that'll be good. Hopefully the water's not too cold for you. And it's a very weak tide.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the business update, shall we? Oh, I prematurely pushed the button.
See? I'm not the only one.
Yeah. Tim, what's your business update this week?
My business update.
Sponsored by Cats Accountants, by the way. Thanks, Cats.
Thanks, Cats. Mm. I recently went on a work trip to Melbourne, Dan, as you know. Definitely had nothing to do with a wedding or visiting family.
Yeah.
It was a work trip.
Yeah.
And this is proof of that.
Okay.
If you're listening,
yep.
ETO. I visited a vintage store. May or may not be where I bought this shirt, Dan.
That's a cool shirt. Actually, when we did our morning stinner, because I worked from home this morning, and when I saw the stinner, you were in that shirt, the first thing I thought of was,
cool shirt.
Yeah, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
And it's because it came from a vintage store.
Yeah.
And it was specifically an American vintage store, American apparel
right.
store. So okay. it had like all the old sporting jerseys, memorabilia, a lot of, weirdly, a lot of Space Jam memorabilia.
People love Space Jam.
Yeah. Mm. Cool shirts like this. That are like very, I don't know. I see this as like kind of out of Seinfeld, like the cut. It of looks, it,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's 90s cut. It's definitely a 90s cut.
So you're thinking, Tim, how does this relate to the business update?
Yeah.
Well, I think that is a very interesting business because they've chosen a location, Fitzroy, that suits a vintage store.
Yep.
They've very much niched and specialized in American apparel.
Yep.
From 80s, 90s.
Mm.
They were playing music, like it had a lot of, steel and wood.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way they fitted it out and they had the environment in there just took you back in time and instantly made you nostalgic.
Right.
They can pretty much charge whatever they want. that Space Jam memorabilia I was talking about before, little shirt, little bit crusty, was $150.
Oof.
How crazy is that? And that's just in someone's like throwout pile, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, all the clothes are probably just donated. Mm. And there was racks and racks of clothes. There was cowboy hats. There was like cowboy boots.
Was it busy?
Yeah. It was pumping.
So yeah. So this is clearly just a good exercise in branding. And yeah,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Excellent marketing there. They know their unique selling proposition and they're really leaning into that.
That's cool, Tim. That's
And it's. I also like it's just recycling too. So I mean, all these clothes would have just been in landfill if it weren't for shops like this.
Yeah,
who I hope are making a lot of money. Really,
it's also a great illustration of the power of marketplaces, if you like, because the value of that shirt to the parent when it was sitting on the child's wardrobe floor that's grown out of it is nil.
Yeah, exactly.
I could probably argue it negative because I've got to go and get rid of it.
Yes.
But the value of it in a shop in Fitzroy with the right market, with the right audience coming through, it goes to, what did you say, $120?
Yeah.
$150? That's just
crazy.
Extraordinary.
Crazy. Like it would have been $10 brand new probably. And there would have been 100,000 of those shirts printed.
And just to revisit on what you were saying earlier, Tim, as well, that that this was a work trip because you've got a new work shirt. This is branded, yeah? This says Cats Accountants, Student Accountants on it.
Label
you've,
there.
You've got that done? Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely deductible.
Yeah, tax deductible.
Yeah. Because you're going to claim a tax deduction for a trip to buy a non-tax deductible shirt.
No, I mean, I was studying the business. I happened to walk into the store, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's why I stayed right near it. And drank all my beers at the rooftop above it. Yeah.
It is not for the ATO to determine how much you spend while away on work.
Definitely not. Or my style of fashion.
Yeah. It is up to them to determine whether it's deductible, but.
No, that's a joke. I'm not going to claim that. But I did think it was very interesting. Mm. And yeah, I mean, kudos to them. And I think we could all learn from that. Where if you really position your product or your service and everything lines up, it's amazing what you might be able to charge.
I think did I speak about the bread on the podcast last week? The bread fridge?
You did.
That's also a good example of this, where it's just like, there's literally a dodgy fridge and it's $8 a loaf.
Yeah.
Like how often would you see a dodgy, if there was a fridge that said free bread and it was just a dodgy fridge,
you wouldn't take it.
You would not take it.
You wouldn't take it. It's the same with this Space Jam shirt.
Yeah.
Dead set. If you saw that draped over, I don't know, a seat in the park.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, someone lost their Space Jam shirt. Yeah. You'd be like, that's worth $150. I'm not touching that.
No.
I'm going to grab a stick, put that in the bin. Yeah.
That is so true. So true. All right. Why don't we move on, Tim? This week, have we got a tight ass tip? Have we got a Tim's think tank?
Well, I thought the tight ass tip went so well with Ben, I'd bring back the tight ass tip for Dutchie. So,
what have we got?
This one is a little bit petty. I will warn you in advance. It's not great.
Hold on. if this one is petty, and you've never said that about any of the other ones that we've done in the past, and they've been like, they would have saved you less than a cent, some of these in the past. But you know, obviously, if you keep doing them, several cents. But
well, this is a reusable one.
Okay.
All
right.
So I think I've talked about meal prepping before.
Should we have a ranking on the wall back here that's just like the most petty.
Probably.
Yeah, and like up the top is shower when it rains. Yeah. Down the bottom.
Wash your
like,
car in the rain. Yeah, there's a like, few in the rain ones.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, this is definitely up there.
Yep.
So it's to do with meal prepping. I recently did a great meal prep and it was like cook 5 meals in one hit. And
shout out to Recipe Tin Eats.
Yeah, Recipe Tin Eats. And it was great. Like they give you the full list and you just buy all the ingredients. And it really did take me about an hour and a half to meal prep like 5 meals for the week times 4 adults. But what I learned was there's a lot of Ziploc bags in that process required.
Right.
Because you're putting salmon in with sauce and then freezing it straight away.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you defrost it overnight, that's when it...
Marinates.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't think of that word.
Yep.
But I thought, what a waste if I have to throw out this very fine Ziploc bag, which is like... a giant Ziploc bag and very, very nice quality, like I must say, you know.
Yep.
It's sealed very well.
You went top notch in the Ziploc bag.
Yeah. So I washed it and I'm reusing them. So that's my tight ass tip. Reuse Ziploc bags.
Now, I like this and I'm gonna revisit a couple of, I don't know if you remember, early days we had a tight ass tip suggestion by a friend of the podcast, Celeste.
Yes.
Who said... mm-hmm. that instead of buying individual packets of chips for your kids in lunchboxes, buy a big packet and put them in little Ziploc bags reuse the Ziploc bags.
Fan of that.
So this is essentially the same thing. The Ziploc bags.
Reuse the Ziploc bags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except, I mean, you've got to think, like I've had raw chicken and like sauces in these things. So yeah, I mean, I gave it a good wash. I don't know if it's completely safe.
I also want to point out, so meal prep in my mind means that when I get home from work on Tuesday night, I'm not cooking anything. I don't like the fact that meal prep with this thing that you've told me is that you've got to go and go home and cook the thing you've marinated for 3 days. That's not a meal prep. That's just preparing to cook.
No, I know. It seems that way. Yeah. But like all you got to do is tip it into a frying pan and cook it.
That's too much effort. I want to put it in the microwave and push no more than 4 minutes.
But then it won't
and then
stay.
I want to be done.
It won't stay fresh all week, Dan.
It's fine.
So you got to use that chicken within 3 days.
But that's why you cook specifically things that stay fresh. So if I'm going to freeze, it's like it's spaghetti. It's, you know, a curry.
Yeah. So you're the cook and freeze.
And then I'm the cook and freeze. And then if I'm going to cook fresh... mm. That's the first meal. I had that 2 nights and then you go to the freeze after that.
I know. I wasn't a fan at first, but once I did it, I was like, no, this is super easy. I could definitely do this. But anyway, reuse your Ziploc bags is the tight ass tip there. Dutchie, do you reuse your Ziploc bags or will you now?
We do, but I've got to say the hardest thing for us is getting them to dry. That's the key is you can get them clean, but get them dry. But can I indulge you to offer my own tight ass tip this week?
Yes. Absolutely.
And it's something of a riposte to an earlier tight ass tip.
Good.
That I feel I have to write this wrong.
Okay.
My tight ass tip is that there is an extremely fine liquor store, source of spirits and wines, at extraordinary value, including Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
And you actually referenced it. It's called Aldi. And I've got to say, there is an exceptional team behind that part of Aldi, because the wine buying program at Aldi delivers consistently good wines at very low prices. I think the fact that the relation, there is no linear relationship between price and quality in wines, because the wine market is so distorted.
True.
And I think it is extremely It's very capable for a capable team to deliver good wines at value at good prices. And I think Aldi do that exceptionally well. So that's my tight ass tip, is buy your alcohol from Aldi.
Well said.
I couldn't agree with that one more.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, I have done that. it is good.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. I can attest to it. I think it's global as well. So you go overseas. In the UK, I was in the UK recently, and it's not exactly called Aldi. They've got a slightly different brand over there. And they have the best selection of cheap wine that is actually brilliant. Like the whites, the reds, there was French reds there, and they were so nice.
I remember I was in Aldi once, I was looking in the wine section, and there was champagne, like real champagne. From champagne.
True.
Not sparkling wine, champagne.
For like 30 bucks, probably 25 bucks.
Yeah, it was.
That's crazy. And you can't call it
Massive massive shout out to the wine buying team at Aldi. And yes, you're right. Champagne only comes from champagne.
Yeah.
I just wish I could drink more of it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Aldi, bring it back. Yeah, there's a demand.
That's a good one.
When you get to my age, the issue isn't the price as much as the hangover.
Yeah, that is a real issue. Yeah, not a fan.
Let's move on to our main topic. Now I can push the button. There we go. Which is our chat with you today, Dachi, because we want to discuss what's going on in the job market and what are some things that people can do to attract talent to their business and retain it, because this is a problem that lots of small businesses faces. You know, I've heard stories of cafes having being short-staffed just because they can't find people. I've heard stories of, especially, you know, in our, you know, relevant to us is in accounting.
Accounting.
The shortage of accountants in the industry at the moment is hard.
Tradies.
You hear it everywhere that there's a shortage of talent out there. Is this what you're hearing, what you're seeing, and what are some of the trends that you're seeing out there at the moment?
Yeah, well, absolutely. At an anecdotal level, from our own experiences, it's devastating just to walk down the Corso in Manly, the high street in Manly, and see shops that are actually, and restaurants that are closed some days of the week because they literally can't get the staff. I recently managed to find a builder to come and fix a leak at my house, but you know, I really struggled to find him, and he struggled to find the tradies that he needed. So I think it's very real. And just at a macro level, just to sort of set the scene, a lot of people are sort of saying we may have turned the corner in terms of unemployment, because back in sort of September, December, I'm going to say the official unemployment rate was down at 3.5, 3.6. And even with a slight fall recently off some recovery, it's still up around 3.94%. So people are sort of thinking, well, is that easing the pressure? But 4% is still a historically low figure. So even though we might have bounced off the bottom from 6 months ago, it's still very tight. And that's also illustrated in and I think this is probably what people feel more when they're trying to recruit, is a thing called the participation rate.
Yeah.
And in very simple terms, that's what proportion of the adult population is actually working. And at the moment, we're up around 67%. Again, you know, near record high, certainly in the last couple of decades, that's the highest it's been, which means that that's a very high proportion of adults already working, with a very low proportion of adults looking for work, which, you know, we're seeing in these pinch points for businesses. So I think coming back to sort of what are we seeing, one thing I'd really like to emphasize in these kind of discussions is that not everyone has the same experience, right? We're all in the same market, but there's lots of streams to that market, certainly between industries. You know, there's talk today in recent months about the competition for talent in the technology market easing a little bit, and that's certainly true. But even within the hospitality industry, which you guys rightly highlighted, is very tight at the moment. The experience of a recruiter who works as a talent acquisition team at Merivale trying to hire bar staff and wait staff and restaurant staff is very different to the experience of a mum and dad owned suburban restaurant. So I think it's very hard to generalize. But having said that, it's certainly very tight. And we're seeing that in the businesses that we see ourselves on the street. And we're certainly seeing that in the businesses that we serve at Employment Hero. I think in terms of trends, where do we see things, what do we see happening? There was a massive increase in innovation around recruitment over the last couple of years. And I mean that at a like a hacky level. You saw people, small businesses going to extraordinary extent to attract staff. We saw larger businesses offering perk packages and lots of benefits and some, you know, lots of flexible working. We've seen paternity leave and maternity leave extended, seeing some very valuable perks to try and attract and retain staff. At that small business level, I think it's required massive hustle from small business owners to go and find those people. So it's been interesting to watch some of those innovations.
I even had a meeting with a client last week who was considering changing their business to a not-for-profit, which they could. They're in the right industry to do it. But I mean, this involves no private ownership of your business anymore, just so that they could offer fringe benefits, tax exempt benefits to their to their employees, so they could compete in the labor market.
Novated leases, novated leases on the car.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's probably an extreme case, I would say.
It is.
I think that's really a good point that you raise as well, the small business side of this, you know, a lot of these larger employers can offer these things like extended parental leave or, you know, these various benefits that they can offer. But for a small business owner, you're not in the same space. You can't offer those things because more often than not, if someone leaves for 12 months, it's just really hard to get enough space in your business to have that capacity filled up and then have enough space for that person to come back again without having to offload the other one. So I think it's a really hard space for a small business owner to compete when compared to those larger businesses by just offering those extra perks.
Mm. Yeah. And look, there's this concept of employee value proposition, which is essentially a way of describing how potential employees and your existing employees see you as an employer and how attractive that might be to them, relatively attractive. And there's a lot of things that go into that. So if you're the kind of person who's a candidate that's very interested in maxing out your salary and maxing out the number of days off that you have, you're probably going to gravitate towards large corporate businesses or at least the finance sector where those things are sort of more manifest. But a lot of small businesses can do things that represent flexibility, that represent even just simple recognition. And I'll give you an example of a tool that we have. So Employment Hero within that, which, as you know, Employment Hero's core market is small and medium-sized businesses. Mm. Although I've got to say, in particularly in Australia and the UK now, we're seeing a lot more interest in our product from mid-market and we're moving to serve that. Right. But there are tools around reward and recognition. And we have a saying, small reward, big return. And so I'll give you the specific example. You can set up within the system just the opportunity to remind you as the owner or as the person's manager that somebody's birthday is coming up or somebody's work anniversary is coming up. Very simple stuff. And how you respond to that is up to you. At the very least, just getting a message the day before their birthday so that you know tomorrow morning when you have your one-to-one or you're having a stand-up or you're meeting with your colleague arrives at site, you actually go, hey, you know, Bob, happy birthday. Something as simple as that, which costs absolutely nothing, can be a very powerful part of your EVP, your employee value proposition. And that does two things. That makes Bob want to hang around, but it also makes Bob tell other people that this is a really good business to work for. Sure. We also have the opportunity through the platform to back that up with some small rewards. We call them hero points. And you mentioned FBT earlier, which is very interesting. And I'm going to tread carefully for reasons you can imagine. But
what do you mean? FBT is simple.
The way that the reward and recognition system on Employment Hero is set up is that it's very much about dripping in those small, non-recurring benefits that are meant as small tokens. And I don't know the exact wording from the exemption, but we've had very clear advice to us that the nature of these, when used properly, will fall within the exemption. In other words, you can go and throw 100 hero points, maybe $20 worth of vouchers to an employee when they do something up above and beyond. We call that recognition. So you can set up company values, for example. Awesome. And when a colleague says, hey, Susan's just really exemplified our value of customer service, and the manager can press a button, approve that, and Susan gets 100 points. That the nature of that small reward, I think you'd agree, starts to meet the benefit, the criteria for the exemption. So it's a very powerful tool. Even if you choose just to use it to remind staff, to remind yourself when the staff's work anniversary is, hey, congratulations, you've been with us 2 years. Yeah. Really appreciate what you've done for us in that time. Just getting that memo the night before so you know when you go into work that you need to acknowledge somebody. So that's an example from an employee value proposition that can be very simple, but might make the difference between Susan and Bob joining your company and Susan and Bob sticking around.
Yeah, I like that employer value proposition concept because, you know, as you rightly said, as a small business, your proposition to a potential team member is very different to what a large organization might feel like. You know, there's people who you often hear work for large organizations and they feel like they're lost in a much wider environment. You know, they're sort of a number or they're whatever it is, whereas a small business often provides you a sense of community, belonging, team, whatever it is, and a particular type of person that's searching for that would be attracted to you if you can demonstrate that that is something that you do compared to one of those larger businesses where, yeah, they might get paid a bit more, but some of those extra things around the edges are different.
That's right.
So, yeah, you might not be looking for the same person.
That's right. Yeah. I think we got a really good example of that with Who Gives a Crap at the conference we went to recently. I mean, it's grown into a very large business now, but I'm sure people were very keen to jump on board because of the social purpose that business has. So,
And you know, to give an example from Employment Hero, our mission is to make employment easier and more valuable for everyone. And and we're really getting very literal about everyone now. We're talking about globally. That attracts a lot of people to our business, and we live that every day. If we're in a meeting and having a conversation, somebody goes, does this actually make employment easier or more valuable? If the answer is no, then it gets dropped and you go and focus on what's important. Yeah. The other thing I'd say about your EVP is you need to communicate it.
Yeah.
If you've got a help wanted sign in the front window of your cafe, you're going to attract the people who are desperate to work in that location that week. They're going to walk in through the door. If you're able to be a little bit more creative, and just let people know that your cafe, what your cafe stands for, whether that be responsibly sourced food or single estate coffee or whatever it is, and you want to attract baristas and wait staff who empathize with that and represent that value, the websites are very simple ways of doing that. So making sure your website isn't just speaking to your customers, but also speaking to your prospective candidates who might come and work for you is really important. And again, using Employment Hero, we've got your own, every client has their own careers page that they can customize and start to attract candidates and represent that employee value proposition.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool.
I think you've had my colleague Garth on here previously.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm sure he would have mentioned that we're a remote first company, and that I think is the ultimate perk. Yeah, it's been really instrumental in defining what kind of business we are, our culture. One thing I would say to people who have questions about remote first is that it doesn't happen by just sending everyone home.
Yeah,
sending everyone home is not remote work. That is abandoning the office. Mm. Remote work, the office environment, the way we work in the office, has been an iteration over 300 or 400 years. The first offices as we know them, I think, were in Amsterdam 300 or 400 years ago. So we've put a lot of effort as a society and as businesses into defining what an office work is. You know, you turn up at 8:30, you work till 5:30, and then the boss goes home in half an hour, you go home. You need to put a similar...
It's the reverse.
So, you know, remote can be extremely powerful, but you shouldn't expect, and you have to expect to invest in it the same way you invest in office furniture. You know, we put a lot of office fit out is a huge industry. And we don't have that expensive Employment Hero, so we put it into making the home environment work.
Yeah, I actually do want to dive into that more with you guys in this series. I think there should be a whole episode on working from home and how to make that work.
It is interesting because there's a lot of news going around at the moment as well about a lot of big employers offering incentives to come back to the office. So it's sort of rather than the incentive to work from home, it's saying, no, we want you back. If you work X amount of days from the office, you get X, Y, and Z. You know, it's an extra day of holiday. It's whatever it is. It's interesting.
I was sorry, Dutchie.
Sorry, mate, you go.
Oh, I was just going to say, speaking of perks, I was doing some research recently, just looking at the job market for a podcast host, nothing crazy. It wasn't for me, it was for a friend.
Yeah.
No, it was for something else. But I did see one job ad that stuck out and it didn't have a salary price or amount, but it did have that they provide you with lunch every day. So that's in the job ad.
Yeah, but the salary isn't.
There was no salary expectation set there. I found that quite fascinating.
I just bringing it back to recruitment and retention and that point you made about companies starting to ask businesses to come back to the office, their teams to come back to the office. And there's been some big cases in the US around that. I think it was Dell Company that said, if you don't come back to the office X days a week, you won't be considered for promotion. And I just want you to take a moment to think about the impact that has. Now, there's probably 20% of any business that works better from home because of the nature of their personality, because of health issues, because of the hours in which they are most productive.
Their role.
Their role, exactly. So if you blanket that, how many of your top performers do you think might choose to go, you know what, I'm going to go and find a remote first company. So it's a very blanket approach that works for maybe 30, 40, 50% of your workforce, but you're going to lose some top performers. So if you've put a big effort into attracting and investing in some great people and you're going to lose them because you're not prepared to put a little bit of effort into working out how to make them productive at home. As you say, this is a big conversation, but we can put forward some pretty compelling reasons.
I think it's very relevant. And this is the point of difference for a small business. That this is kind of what we're saying. Small to medium sized businesses, your point of difference is you can offer these perks and the flexibility that larger corporations can't because you're more agile and you can adapt quicker. And I guess it's just that sense of letting go of some control, at least just perceived control. Because you've done,
I don't like that.
Like Dan's a bums in seats sort of guy at the office. Yeah.
Oh dear, I may not be able to say what I was going to say.
That was a joke. It was a joke.
Well, I mean, if you're the kind of manager that relies on seeing the people sitting in front of you working, you've probably got a bigger problem than you realize. Because if the only way you can make your team productive is to be standing over them and watching what they're doing. The reality is, I don't think a lot of office-based managers work that way. They're actually relying on their staff to be productive, and they judge them based on their outcomes and their outputs, not how many hours they're putting into the office.
Definitely.
So it is very it's a relatively well-defined and well-trodden path to deliver that kind of experience remotely now. And I think, you know, Employment Hero as a platform is part of that solution, but the productivity tools and the communication tools and the sharing, the shared resourcing tools are very powerful and very affordable now. Our biggest expense in setting up our employees is we like to give them a good desk, chair and monitor and make sure that their home office is set up well.
Yes. I think this conversation does fit nicely with our chat last month with Garth around culture in the business. And you know, a big selling point is that culture in the business. So I think, I think that's a good point.
If the nature of your business allows you to have knowledge workers who can work from anywhere, so you know, I recognize construction industry, retail industry, hospitality industry, healthcare. These are not industries where this is going to be as relevant. But if you're a business that has those people who can do their work from anywhere, I strongly encourage you to revisit the opportunity to work remotely if you've returned to the office, because the benefits are huge.
Yeah. Yep.
I like it.
I totally agree. And I think, it's interesting that, you know, and we can sort of maybe bring this back to swag, but that is an example of a tool that would help engage your team when they are working remotely. I'm sure it seems.
You said, you know, small reward, big return. What are some of those things, those incentives that you can be looking at to give to your team to attract the people who like that idea, but also then retain the ones that that you do have?
So the ones I mentioned earlier, which are around our reward and recognition tools, they're actually employer activated. So the employer can set up within the Employment Hero system and they flow through swag. So to deliver to your employees in a fantastic experience. There are a bunch of other benefits that come with swag that are unlocked. Some of them are direct, some of them are unlocked by being an employee of an Employment Hero client. But they range from cashbacks at local cafes. And I had a moment of delight. I've been using my swag card to pay for things at my local cafe. I use my swag card because it's a debit card and my wife doesn't get to see it. So KFC, McDonald's, and my local cafe are the major expense items on it. I was delighted to see that I was actually getting cash back from my local cafe every time I went there. So that was great.
That's awesome.
We have discounts. We have standing discounts with booking.com. Monthly or seasonal discounts. We ran one with Virgin recently. I think it was 8% off flights with Virgin, which had a huge take up. So there are a series of benefits across a wide range of industries. We've got healthcare, travel. There is hospitality in there, shopping, online shopping. We've got the Iconic in there. So there's a bunch of benefits that just are available to employees who use swag.
Question.
And then there's those other. Yeah.
What about gym memberships? Because as a small business owner, I mean, I've got friends who work for like government and big corporations, and they get a fitness passport.
Yeah.
And that's it's always killed me. I'm like, damn it.
We tried to join it several times.
I want that cheap gym access. So if you don't have it, that's fine. But
that is an example of this kind of perk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How cool would that be?
That doesn't cost you anything as the employer, but does.
But the power of the number of small businesses and all their teams could mean that Swag could negotiate something like that.
We'll take that on board. I'll go away and get our gym partners upgraded. But just to take that scale element, we have 1.2 million employees on the platform. So we've got that. I think it's approaching $100 billion of payroll going through the system every year, which obviously gives us huge buying power. But even to bring that down to a product level, you cannot get group insurance. So how do we explain group insurance? Company-sponsored discounted group insurance with a private healthcare provider.
Yeah.
You can't get that now really unless you have 200 employees. Well, because we've got 1.2 million employees, we've been able to go out and do deals with health providers. So our clients who have 40 employees can enjoy some, their employees will get a benefit through a discount through those providers.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And
love it.
And you know, so obviously Swag and what you guys are offering through Employment Hero is an example of a small business being able to access some of the perks that would usually otherwise be available to larger businesses. And there's other options, there's other things out there. But I think really this is just an example of trying to be creative, right? As that business owner, being creative and thinking about what you can be doing, what are the things out there that you can offer your team to retain them, but also attract them, apart from just your, you know, your unique employer, value proposition?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, Swag is an all-in-one. It's a super app for employment. So obviously it covers finding a job and on the Employment Hero side, finding candidates. Mm. And I think that's probably where the biggest revolution that Employment Hero has brought about in its recent years, bearing in mind, I think we're about 10 years old this year. There's a new feature for Employment Hero clients and for Swag candidates called Smart Match. And this is not an evolution of recruitment. This is not another job board. It's not another ATS. It is an absolute turning on the head of the recruitment process. Oh. And the best way I can describe it is the legacy process is, Ben often calls it pay and pray. We go out and we throw the ad up on the job board. We go out and we spend big subscriptions on LinkedIn and we put our ads up and then you literally hit the button, publish the ad, and you sit there and you hope people apply and you hope the right kind of people apply and you hope not too many of the wrong people apply. You're nodding because I know you've had this experience recently. That has effectively been the process of recruitment that most businesses have used for the last 30 or 40 years. What SmartMatch does is through Swag, we have approaching 1 million candidates. And one of the important things about that number is that you want those candidates to be relatively recent. So we're getting about 40,000 new candidates a month. So lots of fresh, active job seekers in that pool. But because as a client, you've got your HR system with Employment Hero, we know all the people you employ today, and we know the people that you need to replace when you've got someone who resigns. We know where your team is growing. We're able to benchmark you and say, hey, businesses of your size with that many SDRs, typically you're about 3 months away from needing another SDR. Let's show you some candidates. But the real power of SmartMatch is that because we've got that talent pool and because we've got the contextually relevant insights and interface with the HR system, we just bring the two together. So literally you can go into your HR org, you can click on your org chart and go, here are my 5 SDRs, I need a 6th one, click on any of them, and we're going to start showing you current candidates that match that profile.
So
and that's done throughout.
Have those candidates indicated in the app that they are looking for work? Is that how they come up?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because otherwise,
very clear.
Otherwise, people would be stealing my team members. I don't want that.
Thank you for raising the question because it is something that our clients ask about.
Yeah.
So at the moment, existing clients are actually quarantined. What they see is the jobs that are available in your organization. So internal mobility, even in a small business, making sure that your team have access to the opportunities that you have is a big retention tool because the number one reason people leave is because they've got a better option somewhere else. So we actually show your team and we can't stop them going and signing up for Seek or LinkedIn or Indeed. but we can quarantine their experience within SWAG. No, just to be absolutely clear, the only people that get smart matched are people who are not already affiliated with one of our employers. And look, that might change down the track. I think we have views around mobility and people's desire to have multiple jobs, for example. But yeah. Right now, that's how it stands.
Yeah, true. And I guess it comes back to as well, if you're treating your team well, then they're not really going to even look at a notification that says there's other jobs available, because they can always, it's a Google search away really anyway. Yeah. Today.
I think I was thinking more if you had a team member who was happily going along and that you've given them access to this SWAG app that they've signed up to get all these benefits, and then their phone keeps telling them there's other jobs around. That wouldn't be good. But if they say, hey, I'm looking for a job, that's different. Or if they're actively going to look, that's, everyone should do that. You should have the ability to do that.
So Smart Match, is there any AI functioning in the background there? Or?
Yes, there is. You're really going to test my boundaries as a product manager. We have some very, very intelligent and capable people here. We actually originally started it a year ago or so with search text search.
Okay.
But we have about 3 or 4 months ago launched our first AI-based element, and it's dramatically increased. We really had to use the text experience, the text search experience, to understand what the drivers were between what an employer needed and what a CV said. And as soon as we had a couple of months of that data, we were actually going to look at models like large language models and actually work out how we could train those models to look in the right places and then start to deliver those candidates. So it was a fascinating, that month or so where we were running parallel between the search tool and the LLM to the artificial intelligence tool was fascinating to see how it took what we developed and just accelerated it.
Wow.
That's cool.
That's so cool.
That's I really like kind of the way this conversation is kind of moved now towards this recruitment space as well, because I think, that attracting of the talent, yes, in a tight market, what things can you do to attract them? Well, you can have the unique employer value proposition. You can have the incentives, you can have these tools and things around to retain them, but also just finding them is hard. So there's tools like this that can help. Recruiters themselves, which, depending on the role and depending on the cost and what you're trying to find there is a very different proposition as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other element would be alignment on salary. You mentioned the ad earlier that didn't mention the salary.
Yeah.
There's a lot of frustration. It's very difficult to advertise salaries publicly because there's a sensitivity around other team members, et cetera. Often you'll have a recruitment process, and time to hire and the amount of hours and weeks you have to put into recruiting someone can really be very frustrating if you get through that process and then find out there's no alignment between salary, what you're offering and what they're expecting. And so we have salary benchmarking tools, again, based off 300,000 businesses and millions of employees. We're able to offer up fairly precise salary benchmarkings that don't just look at the role. They look at the role within your industry because, again, there are certain industries in healthcare that attract higher premiums for a sales role that perhaps other sales roles don't attract. So the salary benchmarking is an integral part of our recruitment suite because it tells the employer, am I in the right area? Am I underpaying and therefore churning staff and struggling to recruit them? Where is the market? And that kind of insight can help you fine-tune your offering and not over or underpay.
Yeah, that is cool. That is good. Does it, and it might be a step too far at the moment, but does it also discuss location? So like a junior accounting role in the CBD might be different to a junior accounting role in a country town, for instance. Does it do that, or is it just an average across the entire industry?
Yeah, in our big sectors, it does.
Yeah.
What you can imagine is if you start getting down to niche roles in niche regions, the data set gets smaller. But in general, yes, it does.
Cool. That's very useful.
That will become less and less a thing too with more remote work potentially.
Yeah, too, definitely. That will start to even out.
Live in Antarctica and work as long as you have internet.
You
can open the thing about remote work, of course, just on that point, is that. And I think Ben may have talked to you about this, but with the advent of global broadband, whether that be by satellite or other means, we are bringing online billions of people who can now get access to education and once they're educated, can get access to knowledge-based roles around the world. And really, I think as a global community, being able to open those opportunities up, it's the old reaching back to my macroeconomic lectures back at Sydney Uni in the 1990s. If everyone is able to specialize and do what they're best at in a global environment, it's a win-win for everybody. And I think that's what we're probably going to see over the next 10 to 20 years. We refer to it as the worldwide of work.
Worldwide of work.
Yeah, we did discuss that with Ben a little bit.
Was very, very eye-opening for me, that conversation. I was like, wow, yeah, we are on the precipice of...
And we're going to be doing a series pretty soon all around having an offshore team and the question, the journey around that as well. So I think, you know, it's all relevant there.
Imagine in the future, Employment Hero and Smart Match is just finding you team members from all around the world.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
So you don't have to imagine that because we have that today. So I did a quick demo for the team the other day, and we actually operate and provide a very localized solution in five countries: Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, Malaysia, and the UK. Nice. But we have a lot of clients who use our product around the world because they employ people wherever they are. And so somebody said, you know, how does Smart Match work in these places? And certainly if you're in Sydney and you want to go and look for candidates in Brisbane, fantastic. You just change location. It will refresh the candidates that we show you for that location. But we flipped it on for a couple of locations, Ireland, because a UK client was looking for employees in Long Island, and it was powerful. The Philippines is a very popular area for strong, good education, strong English, culturally aligned. And again, you know, payroll, we tested on payroll managers and payroll associates in the Philippines. I was actually myself astonished. I was really proud of the team when we saw the depth of results there. Wow. That already exists today. And just to finish that thread, in terms of employing those people, if you don't have a company in the Philippines and you want to be a compliant and employer who people can respect, we actually have an employer of record service called Global Teams, which does that for you. So we have a company in the Philippines. We employ them on your behalf. We pass on the payroll with a management fee.
Really cool.
That will be one of our topics in our series around the employer of record versus using a BPO or hiring directly. We're going to be discussing all of this.
Wow.
At some point,
we've got plenty of experts. We'll make available to you.
Nice. I think that's probably a good spot to wrap up here. Mm. I think we've discussed, you know, what the market sort of looks like at the moment, some of the pain points, some of the things that a small business owner can be doing. And I really liked that discussion around how to separate yourself from other people and then some of the tools around retaining them. So this is great. If people want to find more out about, when they know where to go for Employment Hero, because we mentioned it every week we do the podcast, but how about Swag in particular?
Yes, swagapp.com is our landing page. If you're a job seeker and you want to set up a candidate profile, there'll be a toggle there to put on a candidate or job seeker. If you're an employee of one of our clients and you haven't downloaded the app, there's an experience for that. Or if you just want to access the benefits, if you just want to see those discounts, you can go to swagapp.com, download the app, and it'll take you from there.
Great. Oh, great. Awesome. All right, let's quickly move on to our... other thing quickly here before we wrap up. My other thing this week, NBA playoffs have started.
Oh.
So I've tuned back in. My beloved Raptors did not make even the play-in tournament this year.
Who's looking good?
Celtics, looking like they're probably going to take the whole thing, would be my guess. The Nuggets, obviously good. But there's been about one or two games of every first round so far.
Okay. How are the Thunder going?
I don't even remember. They were one of the crap ones that I wasn't watching.
They came bloody first in the
I just don't care West, for them. I don't care for them.
Josh Giddey.
Josh Giddey I like. Yeah. I'll watch him in the Olympics when he plays for Australia.
Young. They're also young and talented.
No, the Lakers-Nuggets series seems to be a good one. Cool. Yeah, there's a couple others. I watched a little bit of the Suns-Timberwolves. Timberwolves are up 2-0 in that series so far. Ooh, which is a surprise. Wow. They've got, you know, it's Durant, Booker, over there at the Suns. So anyway, NBA playoffs, enjoying. Nice. Enjoying.
I like that. Mine is a bit left field. I started reading Cat's Cradle again, which is by Kurt Vonnegut.
You recommended that to me.
Yeah. I pulled it out because I was jumping on a plane. I was like, I may as well take this book with me. And it's such a good book so far. I'm only into the second chapter. It's a short story, but I definitely recommend it. It's about the Cold War and the nuclear bomb. You'd probably like it. It mentions, you know, a similar character to like Oppenheimer.
Mm.
Which I still haven't seen that movie, so it made me want to go watch Oppenheimer as well.
Nice. Good one. Good one.
Yes. Dutchy.
Anything to recommend, Dutchy?
Yeah, this might double up as another tight ass tip, but I'm always impressed by the amount of free content from The Economist. If you're on the podcast, if you've got them in their podcast,
yeah.
They've got Drumbeat, they've got Editor's Picks, they've got a bunch of podcasts, which some of them go into a lot of detail. Some of them are like just super, like giving you the headlines. But there's a lot of free content from The Economist, which is a fantastic publication. And the fact they make it available for free is just great. So I listen to a lot of that.
Nice. That's yeah, cool. That is good. I have checked out some of their things in the past. Great recommendation.
Once the AFL season's over, I'll have some time in my podcast listening library. It won't just be all Essendon review shows. And yeah, I'll jump on that. That'll be good.
Yeah, Tim's just in an echo chamber of Essendon right now where it's just so much positivity about the team just flowing around. They're forgetting the fact that they're Essendon.
Yeah.
And that they will lose.
Oh, I'm just grateful that that Fulham have avoided relegation. That's always a great moment for every Fulham fan. We don't dream of trophies. We dream of staying up.
If there was relegation in the AFL, do you reckon Essendon would be playing in like the Newcastle League, Tim? Like something like that, about that level?
Mate, we've had one wooden spoon in our entire club history, and it came the year after 30 of our players were sanctioned because of the drugs scandal thing.
Yeah, just brush over that.
Yeah, I mean, well, have you heard about the Chinese swimming team?
No.
Yeah,
it's pretty sus. So, like the Olympics, everyone knew the Chinese swimming team was on something.
Oh, I did hear this because a few of the Australian players called them out.
Yeah, basically it was brushed aside. Mm. And then WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, was like, all right, we'll investigate them.
Mm.
And basically, because it was 35 athletes involved, they let China conduct the investigation. And now China's come back saying that there was some sort of... they were found like that they had illegal substances in their system, but 35 of them.
We didn't cheat. It was just a...
It was in something they ate. And WADA's accepted that. And it's like, what? And it happened 18 months after the Olympics. So it's just a whole cover up.
That is.
Whole cover up.
But like, why? Like, it's not like they're afraid. Like, the whole Russia thing. Like, Russia have been competing for ages without a name. Like,
yeah.
Like,
I know. It stinks. It stinks, Dan.
That does remind me, though. Watch the documentary Icarus. Great documentary.
I think the dude who made that is making a documentary and released it on the Chinese swim team as well. Yeah, cool. So that's what he does. He makes documentaries about doping scandals. But yeah, anyway, back to the point. We've had one wooden spoon, Dan.
Mm.
It was that season after that. And we almost didn't even come last. So it was a pretty decent effort.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah,
sure. We're the best, in other words.
Okay.
We wouldn't have been relegated.
Best of the rest.
How are the Dockers going?
Yeah, good. Good.
Maybe not.
I have a Swans scarf now. I'm more of a Swans guy.
Oh, turn it up.
I bought a scarf. Anyway.
You disgust me.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up there. Two Drunk Accountants on all the podcasts, social media platforms. Two Drunk Podcast at gmail.com, twodrunkaccountants.com.au to visit our website and check everything out going there. The federal budget happens pretty soon. This episode will be out before then, but I'd imagine the week after this would probably be the federal budget time. So are we going to do something live?
Yeah, definitely.
Usually we do a watch along. We have a drink. Yeah. We come up with a drinking game. Certain phrases that are read out during the budget speech. We take a sip.
I reckon Dutchy strikes me as the sort of guy that'd be watching the budget.
Yeah.
So you can join us.
Only with many drinks in my hand, probably from Aldi. But just remember that Ben has a particular iron in this fire this year with the announcement of the potential reforms around the superannuation industry.
He does. I've been keeping an eye on that ever since he brought it up on the podcast. So yeah, I'm keen to see what happens there. But so keep an eye out on our socials for our drinking game like we release every year. I'm going to come up with some good phrases this year. I don't think Back in the Black will be mentioned, so that one's going to be off. I don't think...
Stage 3 tax cuts. Let's
Hard Times Ahead was one of the ones last year or the year before we thought was going to be mentioned a lot.
Cost of living.
Cost of living. Oh, geez, we'll be smashed if that was included. Anyway, let's watch out for that. So get in touch with us. Obviously, go find Swag, go find Employment Hero,
and check out everything that they have to offer. And until next time, we will calculate it.
Bye.
Bye.